Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's best, WIOS.
Wonderful, wonderful week.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. Welcome to Tawas Methodist Church. We're located at 20 East M55 in Tawas, Michigan, and you're welcome to join us for worship Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're broadcasting live this morning from our sanctuary, and I'm Chris Kapler. I'm the pastor here. And we're so glad that you've chosen to join us today for worship. You can join our live broadcast at WIOSradio.com and by radio at 1480 AM and 106.9 FM. You can also watch our live stream on Zoom and Facebook and YouTube. And links to all of these are available at our website, tawasumc.org. Remember, you can always learn more about us at our website, tawasumc.org. Got lots of announcements this morning. First of all, the beautiful flowers under the cross this morning are given by Sharon and Vicki. We call them the sisters that come on Saturday evening. Wonderful ladies, and they're giving these flowers for all of us to wish us a happy Memorial Day for everyone. Now, our weekend schedule begins at Saturday mornings at 8:30 with the men's morning prayer group and casual worship at 4. Sunday mornings we have Sunday school at 9. You're all welcome to join that, and then traditional worship at 10. Make sure to register your children or your neighbor's children. You might use discretion on that one. For VBS, Vacation Bible School is coming up quickly. Registration is available at the website on the bottom of the brochure here. And as we've said many times, the first 30 students, all of their fees are already paid for, so it's important. Age 5 to 5th grade, sign up for a great Vacation Bible School. Your children will learn about Jesus Christ, about living the Christian life of faith, and have a lot of fun while they're doing it. So please find the registration brochures out on the table and the information table in the outside the sanctuary here. Some of you have given toys for the nursery, and we want to say thank you to all of those who have donated toys. The little ones will love them. We're not asking for any more at this time, so thank you. Monday the 29th is the official Memorial Day. And the church and the office will be closed that day, and the ladies' Bible study will resume a week later. And then Tuesday, May 30th, we have our prayer ministry at 5 p.m. and the handbell choir at 6:15. And Wednesday, the 31st, sanctuary choir practices at 5:45 and the book study at 7 p.m. On Thursday, June the 1st, the Fish Organization picnic will be at 5 p.m. over at Dewey Durant Park, just across the street from the parsonage. That's easy. Okay. And then on Saturday, June the 3rd, we'll have the funeral for Perry Brown. You're all welcome to come to this. A funeral is at 1 p.m., and the family will receive friends here at the church from 12 until 1 p.m. Our youth program in June, I've put two dates up there. You can just circle the 25th. That's the only day we'll have the youth program in June. Our missions committee is continuing to collect food for the backpack program during the summer. There's two red wagons in the gathering space that receive those. And then just an update on ways to serve. I've mentioned for a few weeks that we're looking for people to work the IT equipment. That's the balcony, preparing and doing the camera and the PowerPoint programs. Came to my attention this week that some people were under the impression that we were asking you to become a full-time volunteer and to do it every week for the rest of your life until you change churches or whatever. No, that's not. What we want to do is we want to train people to provide that help that we need every Saturday night and Sunday morning, but it's got to fit into your schedule. If you can provide help once a month, that's wonderful. Once every 2 months, that's super. So we're not asking you for the type of commitment that would require every Sunday. And I did realize a couple Saturdays ago, Chuck and Kay, the original people that were doing that work, came to Saturday night service because Chuck still can't get up to the IT balcony. And they said, wow, Pastor, we actually worshiped. It's not easy to worship when you're up in the balcony. So if you do decide to do that, my suggestion is that you come to church twice on that weekend, once to worship and once to... Is that funny? That's not a joke. And then the information table, we've got a couple of people who have shown some interest in that, and we need to have some training. So the information table is a great and important ministry of the church. It's one of the most possible ways for us to connect to visitors. So please call, stop by the office, and let us know of your interest in that. Now, I want to show you our church council was given a request by the conference to provide a ordination stole for Eric Falker, who's going to be ordained as a full ordained minister next weekend at the conference. And so we purchased this for him. This is the actual ordination stole is supposed to be red, but he said his wife is knitting together a red one. So we bought, this is purple, and it's reversible, and it's green. And these are two of the important colors in the Christian year that we think will be useful to Eric. So I'll be taking this and presenting it to him next weekend when he's ordained. So I thought you'd like to hear about that. And then I believe this is the last announcement. Today is our Miracle Sunday, when we're going to have a special offering. So the offering plate will be passed around once. So you can put your regular offering in there. There are offering envelopes in your bulletin. So you have to open up your bulletins to see those. That's important. Okay? And so if you want to give a special offering to the Miracle Sunday offering, this money goes to defray the cost of our disaffiliation. So we would appreciate that. And I believe everybody received a letter in the mail explaining that. Okay, so when the offering time comes, you'll know what to do about that. With that, I'll turn it back over to Sean, who will lead us in song.
Let's stand and sing. Rejoice, the Lord is King. It's hymn number 715.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our call to worship, I will read the light print if you will read the dark. Praise the Lord. Lord our God, how great you are.
You are robed with honor and with majesty.
You are dressed in a robe of light.
We will sing to the Lord as long as we live.
We will praise our God to our last breath.
May the glory of the Lord last forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. On a day like today, a time of prayer ought to include prayers for our nation, for those who, families of those who gave their lives in service to our country. I wonder if there are any among us who have family members who actually paid the ultimate price in the service. Could be recently, could be a long time ago. If there are any here, would you please stand? We want to recognize you and your family. If you have a family member who gave their life in service for this country.
Recording in progress.
Would you please stand right now? Thank you. Thank you. Let's give them a round of applause. My family doesn't have anyone who gave their life, but my great-great-grandfather,
recording stopped.
Felix Zumstein, was a private first class, and he had the extreme privilege of guarding Abraham Lincoln's grave on one of the ships. So that's what I always remember about our family in the military. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer on this very special day when we remember those who gave their lives for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer today, I want to recognize that you have a whole different view of suffering than we usually do. When I think of what Christ has done for us and how, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, I can only imagine, Lord, that those who have given their lives for our country did it willingly. Though the suffering was great, we are testimonies today, living testimonies, that their suffering was effective, effectual, and worth it. So we give thanks, Lord, and pray this morning, Lord, that as citizens of this country, we will live such lives to honor those. We will make something out of our lives to honor them, and even beyond that, Lord, we will remember Christ, who died for our sins, and that we would live for him. Father, I think of the challenges before our nation and ask, Lord, that you will raise up the church to lead our nation in righteousness, in citizenship, in hard work, in innovations, in even discoveries, that the church would rise to the occasion because someone needs to in our nation this day. Help us to be people of prayer, people of the Word, people who honor God and choose God over the other entertainments and distractions of life. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are homebound, ask, Lord, that you will make your presence known to them, your love and your comfort. I pray for our church members who are in the hospital today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will grant them grace to recognize your presence in their lives. I ask you to bring healing to those who are sick or injured. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bring the name of Christ and the powerful gospel of Jesus to people in terrible situations, whether it be war, natural disasters, or whatever the situation be around the world, that this world may know Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Time for the young Christian moment for you young ones. come on up. I'll meet you at the steps there. You guys, this is Memorial Day weekend. It's a holiday, right? What do you guys like to do on holidays? Well, what do you mean when you say fun? You ride bikes? Maybe you play a lot? What kind of things do you do to have fun on a holiday? Maybe you go to the beach? Yeah. Maybe you have some special food? Maybe as much as you want? Huh? Pop? You like soda pop? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. And you like to play with your bear. Yes, and I'll bet some of you like to watch TV and movie. The only problem with that is you have to probably watch what mom or grandma likes. Yeah, that's true. So it's probably better to go outside and play. I couldn't hear you. Do what? Oh, you like to do Legos on holidays. Oh, any day? Oh. Well, I suppose you could probably talk to us for hours about Legos then. You could probably tell us all kinds of the things that you made. That's exciting. Holidays are fun. But you know what this holiday is about? This memorial holiday? Yes. That's right. And it's not, you know, not just soldiers who died in foreign countries in a war over there, but we have men and women who've given their lives while in service for the country. They could be police officers, firefighters. They could be military people in training. Maybe they had a terrible accident during training, and we want to remember them as well. And so these are people serving our country. And why do they serve our country? Why would anybody ever want to risk themselves to serve our country? Yeah. To save other people's lives. And that's true. It's to save other people's lives. And part of that saving other people's lives is helping us have a well-ordered society. And a strong society where schools are strong and they teach well, where businesses are strong and they carry out their business honestly, where government is strong and as small as possible. That's my own political bent there. So that's what we celebrate today. And then there's something else we celebrate today, which you may not understand, but you see the banner over there? It says, be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, you see that? And you see the little paramount on the pulpit with the red? And if you look up on the altar, there's a red paramount on the Bible. Yeah, that red paramount reminds us that this is not just Memorial Day, but it's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the day of the birth of the church, long time ago. And you know how the church was born? The church was born because Jesus gave his life so that we could have the opportunity to have faith and eternal life. Yes. It is. Do you like birthdays? I'll bet you do. What do you like most about birthdays? Presents. Okay, well, this present that God has given us is called, it's a big word, are you ready? Grace. Grace means a gift that we couldn't earn and we can't deserve. It's a gift of grace. You have to accept it by faith, and that's eternal life. You say to God, God, I need you. Forgive me for the bad things I've done. I believe in Jesus, and I want to follow Jesus. That's how we receive God's gift of grace. So on this Memorial Day, let's honor the people who gave their lives so we could have a good nation. And let's commit ourselves to living such good lives that our nation will be good for the next generation. And let's honor Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we could have faith. And let's get that faith. Let's pray. I have a prayer I wrote out, and I want you guys to read to pray it with me, so I'll say it slow, okay? Dear God, thank you for our freedom. We really like it. We're thankful for those who suffered for us. They paid the price for our freedom. But even more importantly, we thank you for our eternal freedom. That's because of Jesus, who gave his life for us. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys, I think we're going to wait till after the bell choir, or are they going to go right now? Okay, I believe you guys can go sit down in your pews where you came from and wait till after the beautiful music from the bell choir, and then you can go to junior church, okay?
This morning is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, because of the sponge illustration, you should know by now that the message that I'm going to try to give today is about having the mind of Christ. So from the very beginning, I want you to think about, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Jesus calls us to learn from him. That's, you know, the life of a disciple. Basically, that's the definition of the word disciple, to learn from him. And we commit to be Jesus' disciples when we join the church. That's one of the commitments we make, is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Discipleship is an invitation to enroll in his school of obedience. A disciple, interesting word. But Jesus took that word to its logical end when he taught that every student, when fully trained, will be like his teacher. So it makes sense for Paul to write, have the mind of Christ, because that was the mind he had. And the illustration that I like best comes out of the book of Jeremiah, where we see the illustration of the potter and the clay. So think for a minute. The potter, who's the potter? The potter is God. And the clay, we're the clay. Imagine the potter becoming clay. That's what Jesus did. He became one of us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that the grace of God might be, that he might, by the grace of God, that he might taste death for all of us." So Christ was made lower. And I think it's important to say that the scripture that was just read, that Tom read for us this morning, is really one of those key Bible passages that talk about who Jesus Christ was. It says that he was God, he was human being. He didn't set aside his deity when he became a human being. He is fully human, fully God at the same time. So when the scripture says he emptied himself, it doesn't mean he stopped being God. He became God and man, and still is. So that's the nice thing about it when you think that right now, at this very moment, seated on the throne of heaven is a representative of all of us. Jesus Christ, a human being, as well as God. And then Paul goes a step further in 1 Corinthians. He says in chapter 2, verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So we're not to instruct God and tell God what to do, but the mind of Christ. Now, whether that means we possess the mind of Christ and we just need to apply it in our daily lives, or we don't possess the mind of Christ and we need to obtain it, it really doesn't matter whichever way you look at that. We need the mind of Christ in our lives. And so I've written down a few principles that can be applied to this idea of having the mind of Christ. The first one is acting with new goals. We should be acting with new goals, not our goals. Scripture says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition," and that's found in verse 3 of our text today. But then if you look a little further down in verse 5, it says that Jesus was God, but did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. So I see those as parallel. One is about us. One is about the example of examples. Jesus Christ, the great example. He was God. And yet he didn't go around boasting that he was God. He didn't go around expecting the privileges that God has. And he didn't. He did a lot of miracles, but he didn't go around doing the amazing, powerful things that God can do at any time, whenever he wants to. He did nothing from selfish ambition. And that's what Paul is asking us to do here, to do nothing from selfish ambition. As you go through this passage, you start reading these things, you start saying, that's not the way we're put together. We do things out of selfish ambition. We have goals, we have achievements we want to reach. We live in the world and we are human. We have to look out for ourselves. Way of living that we have, what Paul's saying here. As we get into this, I think it should become clear to us that what Paul is suggesting, or is not even suggesting, what Paul is telling us how to live our lives is radically different than what we consider to be a normal way of living. This way corresponds to Christ's way. If anyone wants to make disciples or even be a disciple, they must not act selfishly. Because selfish actions don't bring about the fruit of discipleship in our own lives or in the lives of the people we may have the privilege to influence. So we need to act with new goals. Well, what kind of goals? Act with the goals that Christ had. Because we're talking about having the mind of Christ. And it's like putting his mind into us and living according to the way he lived. That's why we started out with the idea of discipleship. Jesus is calling us to be disciples. And the person who is a disciple of Jesus Christ is ultimately going to produce the fruit that Jesus produced. And that is, souls will come to God and be redeemed and live in heaven forever. I think last week I mentioned how joyful Paul, the Apostle Paul, must be as he is in paradise even now, watching people come through the portal of paradise And just imagine the joy that Paul has when he sees people come through and he realizes Christ used me to write those letters in the New Testament, and they found benefit, and they found their way to heaven by believing in Christ through those letters that I wrote. So the first of the principles is to act with new goals, and those new goals specifically are God's goals. Secondly, pay attention and give respect to other people, rooted in humility. Rooted in humility, a life of humility. This brings us back to the Beatitudes, where blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. As we take on a life of humility in regard to other people, thinking them better than ourselves now. Who does that? That is not natural. It's not normal for us to pay attention to other people, respect them out of humility. But yet Jesus emptied himself. He could have been full of himself, but he wasn't. He emptied himself. In fact, he tried often to get people to not talk about the wonderful miracles he was doing in their lives, because he knew that if they did, that he would become too popular and they would want an earthly type of a king instead of the suffering Savior that Jesus intended to be. No, to pay attention and to respect other people out of humility puts other people up. It's the natural tendency for all of us is to be above somebody else. We love to hear news about ourselves. We love to talk about our experiences. We love to talk about the places we've been, the things we've seen. And we love to, when someone else starts telling the story, we want to tell our story. That's the normal way of human life. But Jesus is saying, that's not going to get you the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is to humble ourselves so that you can lift somebody else up. Why not make that a goal? To lift somebody else up each day. Wonderful goal. The third principle, arousing your concern for the interests of others. It's in the same vein of that approach of humility. In verse 4, Paul writes, look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And then in verse 7, we see Jesus' example. Jesus took the form of a slave. Now I'm sure you're going to say the pastor's lost it. Who wants to take the form of a slave? Especially in our generation where racism is such a major topic in all the political discussions. You know, racism focuses on that issue of slavery that happened so long ago in our country. But Jesus took the form of a slave. This, again, is not natural for us. To follow Christ requires us to do things that are not natural. The way of Jesus Christ is not the natural way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, for though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all. Why? Paul says, so that I might win more of them. Paul tells us a very applicable truth here, that Paul made himself a slave to all people so that by that action he might get their attention and they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so this act of lowering ourselves below somebody else, lifting them up, doing what they want us to do, gives us a platform to talk about Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need a platform to express our testimony, to talk about Jesus Christ, to serve people so that they'll say, why are they doing this? What's different about that person? They're different because they know Jesus Christ. So it goes against our typical way of thinking. Paul humbled himself to the point of putting the will of others above his own in order to win them to Jesus. So that's arousing the concern for other people, for their interests. And then to be aware. To be aware of the world around you. Now, most of us sitting here would probably say, I'm aware of the world around me. I'm up on the news. I know what's going on in the world. Jesus was aware of the world around him in a more comprehensive and more thorough way than what we're familiar with. Again, we have to get back to this idea of let the mind of Christ be in you. What kind of mind is in Christ Jesus? Imagine for a moment, in all of his divine splendor and glory, he decided to stoop down to become clay. It's hard to fathom, actually, for me. It's very hard to fathom that the God who created everything would become clay. But he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This very God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who rules everything. The best way that I can think about this is through the word holy. And I know the word holy is defined differently by different people, but I'm using a biblical definition for the word holy. A definition that describes who God is, because it is the only word in all of Scripture that is repeated threefold to explain who God is. Holy, holy, holy. That word holy basically means other, not me, not you, other, different, beyond us. For God to be other means he's not part of creation. Never was, never will be. He's outside of creation. There are three dimensions in all of existence. One of the dimensions is the one we live in. This is the physical, the material dimension. You have the earth and you have the universe. That's the physical dimension. And then you have the spiritual dimension. Okay, that's where the angels, the heavenly creatures, the cherubim, the seraphim, that's the spiritual level, spiritual area. And then there's another dimension. That's the holy dimension. There's only one in the holy dimension. Angels aren't there. Only God is there. That's his dimension. Why? Because he's the creator and everything else is created. And if you picture God from that perspective, you see that he is truly outside of us. He's other. And that very God came in. He came into our realm. And he not only did that, he did all the things that are listed in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself, became obedient. Obedient as a slave, died on the cross for you and for me. Can we do that for someone else? That's what Paul's asking us to do. He's asking us to do that. Now, this is where I have to say, this is one of my great joys of preaching to our congregation. Because I know that most of us will sit here and say, put in my time. Right? I did all that. You know, I hit 65, 70, a long time ago, right? I'm ready to sit back and just enjoy worship. And this is where I'd like to say to you, some of the greatest prayers that were ever prayed were prayed by senior citizens. Some of the greatest, most powerful prayers Moses ever prayed didn't even happen until he was over 100. And the greatest ministry for every Christian is the ministry of prayer. That's why I tell people unashamedly, I think the most important ministries in our church are the Saturday morning men's group and the Tuesday afternoon prayer team. Because this is where we focus on prayer. It's prayer. And nothing in this earth, nothing of value ever happens unless it has first happened in prayer. Now, you might disagree with that, but I'm talking about a level of value that's divine. Okay? According to God's will, it happens first in prayer, because God moves people to pray, and then he answers those prayers, and he brings about his revealed will in the earth. Think about it. The value of prayer, the mind of Christ. When we pray, I mean, we're praying for God's kingdom to come, we're praying for his will to be done. This is the mind of Christ, and Jesus put it in prayer. So we have to be aware of the world around us. The world around us, even though it doesn't look this way, is very dark. We look at springtime, the beautiful sun and the flowers and all the new growth and the starting of a whole new summer, and we think it's beautiful. And it is. But in comparison with the brightness of Christ in heaven, it's dark. that may be hard to comprehend. But that's the reality. The world is cloaked in darkness. And for the light of Christ to shine in any individual person's lives requires the light to shine through us first so that other people can see the light. We have to be aware of the world. The world is in desperate need of a Savior. We can't just live our lives saying, oh, well, he, she didn't believe. We have to be concerned about the lost souls. And so we have acting with new goals. We have attention and respect rooted in humility. We have arousing your concern for the interests of other people. We have awareness of the world around you. And lastly, adore God. That's what Paul ends with. And it's pretty shocking, actually. All of these things that Jesus did that are unnatural for us, we think, why would I ever do that? Why would I ever treat myself like a slave in respect to other people? Well, you have to look at the whole story. How did it end? What's the end result of that story? God highly exalted him. He gave him the name above all names. So whenever we're going about our life's business, whatever that is, or our retirement business, whatever that is, as we're going about our daily routines, maybe this is a question we might want to ask ourselves. What is the end result of what I'm doing? Will it help somebody else on this earth? That's good. Will it change eternity? That's really good. Will it cause me to be exalted to where Jesus is so that I can walk with him? There it is. That's the best. Everyone will bend the knee to him and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the scariest verse, I think, in this whole passage. That every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That means the believers. Everyone will acknowledge Christ as Lord. It includes believers and non-believers. It even includes those who said they believed but didn't. And it includes those who said they didn't believe and they would never acknowledge him. They will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. There are those who will say religion is for weaklings. Christian faith is false. There is no God. I will never acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They will. When this life is over, they don't get to hide from God. You can't hide from God. He created all of us. And we will all acknowledge that he is Lord. And it includes those who said they believed, but weren't too sure about themselves. And I think, personally, in the churches across the land and around the world, there's a lot of people in our churches who believe. They believe Christ died for their sins. They believe Christ rose from the dead. And they're going to heaven. They will see Jesus face to face and they will rejoice in his presence. But yet their faith is not strong. They're not sure. If you ask them, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? They might say, well, I hope so. They're going to heaven. I know that. For sure. Sounds a little strange, but the book of 1 John chapter 5 tells us, John wrote, he says, I'm writing this to you who believe, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This assurance, this firm knowledge of eternal life is a gift we have to ask for, and we have to pursue it. And it enhances the Christian life in unbelievably joyful ways. To know for sure that you're walking with Christ today. But there are a lot of us who are, you know, we believe it's true. We believe Christ saved us from our sins, but we can't really pinpoint our absolute assurance that we're walking with him today. So if you do believe, but you're not too sure of yourself, keep asking. Keep seeking. And if you're sure of yourself, pray that others may become sure of themselves. Because to have the mind of Christ is to be a reflection of Christ, to be an example who has learned from the example. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Speak to us now and as we go on with our lives. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask the ushers if you'll come for the morning offering. Please receive the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.